Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is a very, very special episode of the show, episode number 187, the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. And today we are joined by two very delightful people. So first of all, I want to welcome my buddy and co-host, Mr. Mike Payne. Mike, how are you today?
I'm good, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I feel like we only did this yesterday.
That's right, because we did.
Well, depending on when people listened, it could have been a long, long time ago.
Yeah, well, I guess I let the cat out of the bag.
You did. We ruined the magic. It's like going to see the Wizard of Oz and, you know, seeing the wizard, and then you move that curtain behind you. Like, it's just a guy from Kansas who has a balloon. And I ruined the movie for everyone, but it's old. Yeah. It's a classic, so people should know by now, right?
Yeah, it's my specialty.
So I don't know if you like me, but I think you might be, and I think you're probably pretty excited for our very special guest today, Mike.
I am.
So I want to introduce the Vice President for the Maine Historical Wargamers Association, Mr. Joshua Johnson. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am delighted to have you is what I am.
Well, thank you. I think extra special might be pushing things a bit, but...
I don't think so.
You are the first vice president to ever appear on the show. I'm just going to say that.
Well, that's momentous.
It's a first. You can't take that back. No one can beat that.
No, never. You're here today because you're going to talk about a lot of things, actually, but the primary reason is to talk about the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. And I should say first... just an addendum for people, in case you missed it in the pre-roll credits, the Maine Historical Wargamers Association is a sponsor of the show, but that does not influence what we're talking about or why Josh is here and why we're going to be discussing MHWA. And second, we're going to talk about a lot of things, so I'm not going to expect people to remember all of them, but that's why we have the show notes. Just go to wargamingrecon.com/WR187, and that'll bring you to the show notes, and you'll get links to all the things we talk about, such as the link to the Maine Historical Wargamers Association website and Huzzah and all sorts of other things. So it's worth remembering that, even if you don't remember everything else. So, Josh, why don't we talk a little bit about the MHWA?
Sure. What do you want to know?
I want to know who won the helm. That's what I want to know.
The helm. So the helm this year is going to end up going to the Hawks. They brought it this year. I mean, they had a big presence. They ran some great games. The helm itself may be retiring soon.
What?
Breaking news.
What?
But I was Mike Trubeau, the president, and Julie Osinski, the secretary, and I were talking about it. And the helm has kind of an interesting history. The first year we did it, it worked great. The club that won it, and I feel bad because I wasn't a member of the club. It was kind of before my time with the club. But they would, when they won it, they brought it with them everywhere. They took it to all sorts of conventions and all sorts of game days and took pictures, and it was very, very well done. And then as time kind of went on and we would award it, the last couple of years when we would award it on Sunday, there'd be no one there to take it from the winning club. So it ends up in
they shouldn't get it. That should be for the club that's there should get it.
So we're
I'm going to have to join and straighten that out.
So we're looking at some other options now. We're thinking of, we still want to keep up with the tradition of the helm. But we're looking maybe to transition and kind of transform that award a little bit. But that's still in discussion, and we're still looking at different things we can do there.
for listeners who aren't aware of what the Helm is, it's, correct me if I'm wrong, it's an award given to the club with the greatest or best participation at Huzzah.
Yes, they, that's right.
Whoever, whatever club gets it, they get the Helm and they can bring it with them for a whole year, take pictures and all that kind of stuff. And then they return it back. It's like the Stanley Cup for people who are into sports.
It's if the Stanley Cup were a British Civil War helmet that weighs about 50 pounds and travels around in a big black box.
Well, hats off to the to the Hawks, because
you missed your punny tonight.
That's 2 years in a row for those guys. That's pretty good,
right? Again, like the Stanley Cup, 2 years in a row.
Yes.
Like has anybody else been 2 years in a row? I don't think so.
I don't recall.
I don't think so. So now they could actually be going for three in a row.
They could. Wow. They could.
Wow. We're going to have to derail the train or something so they don't get it.
I know. We got to get some other groups down, get some more groups involved.
Yeah, the Barbarians are slacking really bad. We're
you're active on Facebook.
Yeah, but that's about it. We don't do crap after that.
It's interesting to hear though about the Helm, because when Adrian and I did, I think it was episode 184, where we recorded it at Huzzah, we talked about the con and everything. Mm-hmm. One of the things we talked about was about the Helm and, you know, the club participation game and the focus, and how we didn't really see a whole lot of that, and we wondered one if the Helm was still being given and how that was working, and two, what was going on with the game. So it's nice to know that we got an answer to the question of what's going on with the Helm.
Yeah, well, you know what? I actually am a listener of the podcast, so like, hey, let's touch base and let's see what's going on with that, because it's been falling off a little bit in the past years, and you know, some of the feeling is that, you know, it's maybe it's not what it was, and maybe it's time to go a new direction with it.
So why don't we back up? Because we kind of jumped ahead to talk a little bit about Huzzah. Why don't we back up and go really like foundation, Maine Historical War Games Association. What is it, and how did it begin, and where did it come from, and what's its purpose?
So like, all that kind of stuff. It's a real simple thing. People kind of give us a lot more credit than we deserve as an organization. We're a group of people that like to war game. And we've been around for about 12 years. And what the founding members were really looking to do is have a regular group of war gamers. We started collecting dues so we could start renting space to actually hold our war games. And that gave birth to the game days. And, as the club grew, we were able to start hosting Huzzah. That's been around for, this was our eighth year this year.
It's 8 years now. Wow.
Yeah. And it's been growing steadily every year. So we, but outside of that, that's pretty much our jam. We just are guys who like to get together and paint some figures and build some terrain and then throw dice at each other.
It's one of my favorite cons. I love Huzzah.
Yeah. Huzzah is, personally, for me, it's my Christmas. It's my birthday. It's all the great holidays. It's all slammed into one weekend.
Yeah. It's kind of like that for me too.
You guys do some outreach, though, right? You do some youth outreach?
Oh, the cadets.
No, I'm not talking cadets. There's a Game Loft. Is that – I'm getting the name wrong.
Yep. Nope, the Games Loft.
Game Loft, yeah.
A group up out of Camden that we have an association with, and that kind of grew out of some of the success of Huzzah. We had some extra money, so we started looking for ways to grow the hobby. And that has become really one of our big objectives, is to engage the younger generation. And the Games Loft was something that was known of through one of the original members. And we got connected up with them, and we invite them down to game days, and we help sponsor their space and help them pay for their space. A couple years ago, I took my Zombicide game up there and spent a day up there with those guys. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, they have. Some of the members have played my game, and they're all good kids.
Yeah, they are.
Had a lot of fun with them.
Are there many of them?
You played in my game with them as Fighting Carter.
Oh, boy, Fighting Carter.
Right.
I
think of you as Fighting Carter, you know.
That's right. Well, hey.
I do.
Everyone's got to have a nickname, and I could do a lot worse.
Yeah, that's true. I get a lot worse on the deck, too, than I mentioned.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, the... Yeah, they're starting to come back. There was a couple years there where they kind of drifted out of touch with us, and they kind of stopped coming down because I don't know if there was an issue with transportation or getting supervision, or I'm not sure what the issue was. But we've reached back out to them. We've kind of remade contact. They were able to come down to Huzzah this year. They weren't there last year, so it's good to see them back. And that kind of dovetails nicely with our cadet program that we're rolling out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You guys donated some prizes for my game, and that was really nice to be able to give the kids something. I appreciated that.
Yeah.
So what is the cadet program?
That's a great question. Now, what the cadet program is it's one of our leadership's strategies for engaging the next generation of gamers with hobbies like ours. And I'm going to go ahead and throw scale modeling and model railroading in. The concern is the graying of the hobby, right? Because you come to Huzzah, you look around, and it's not necessarily a young crowd. So what we want to do is we want to keep the hobby young. We want to keep it vibrant. And we want to bring new people into the hobby and some fresh blood, because it's no fun playing with the same five people, the same rehashing the same battles over and over. And that's what the cadet program is really about. We want to, really kind of engage the kids and bring kids in and see that energy and see that life come back into the hobby. And I think it adds a lot. And I think it added a lot to Huzzah this year. And we've got a couple of really good guys kind of running with the ball there. Gabe Lindowski, who's, I know, has been a guest on your show, has been a big organizer. And a big contributor also has been one of our members, Jean-Paul Bogosian.
Jean-Paul, yeah, he's a great guy. I like Jean-Paul.
Yeah, Jean-Paul, fun fact about him, he was a Disney Imagineer before he came back east.
He told me about that, yeah.
Yeah, so he actually worked for Disney doing a lot of really neat stuff. And he's kind of brought that, and he's really engaged. And when I was voted vice president, he came up to me with about 40 pages of contacts for game stores and schools and YMCA, because he was really excited about bringing in, really reaching out and engaging kids into this new hobby. So it was exciting to see. It's exciting to have those guys working on it, because they bring a lot of passion. And Gabe, obviously, his Dang Human Race game.
Yeah, I just played those rules recently. They're fun.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great.
Gabriel's fun. I like playing with him.
Yeah, he's fun. I've played in a number of games that he's run, and I've played everything from the futuristic to the fantasy and the steampunk. And the great thing about his is that, you can run any era. You can run pretty much what you want with that.
Yeah, it's a nice set of rules, and he knows right out of his head too. So
the game
a lot nice and smooth.
Yeah, no, he does a great job, and he's been a big proponent of keeping that running.
Yeah, he gave me a big sack of bags of dice to give the kids, and they loved it. I mean, some of these kids got really excited. I never give them crap.
It's always a good something, and it's even a better impression on the parents, because they're like, oh well, this is it makes it's good for bringing them back. My event was the make and take tanks. So the kids got to take their tanks home. They got take them from building and painting the tank all the way through to actually putting it on a table and driving it around and using it against the other kids.
One of those kids played in my game, and he was really excited to show me his brand new tank that he made. And he did a nice job too, for that matter.
He did. I mean, and these kids are whipping through these kits. I'm going to have to get more complex kits next year, because this year I was using Plastic Soldier Company, Shermans, and Panzer IVs. And each kid left with a Sherman and a Panzer IV, and they got to choose which one they wanted to build. And they were some of these kids built both of them in the four-hour session.
Wow, nice.
Built and painted two tanks in 4 hours. Yeah. I could be that productive.
Jeez, I should get them down here to paint some of my stuff that's just sitting around doing nothing.
Would you say the cadet program this year has been a success for the organization?
Yeah, I mean, we're rolling it out. So the first phase is to really kind of identify who's really interested and to kind of pull them in and let them get their feet wet. Then it's going to be kind of trying to get them to try some different things. A lot of kids, Mike's had perennial players at his hang high table every year.
Right. But, you know, I've been noticing, and that's why I'm kind of glad that this program has come along, because I'm noticing that my game is not challenging some of the kids that have been playing for a long time now.
Yep.
They're getting ready to grow out of my game. I don't even think they know it, but I can tell that they need something a little more structured than what I'm presenting, you know?
Well, your game, when I try and when I describe your game, Mike, to other people, I say it's a sandbox.
Well,
it's,
yeah,
it's
that's
a sandbox kind of game.
I describe it that way myself sometimes.
Yeah, and it's a great almost role playing kind of creativity. And it was I had a little trouble adjusting to it at first.
Yeah, well, some people just say, "Hey, this is a little too freewheeling for me, man. I can't handle it." You know, so that's okay. I take it as a compliment.
Yeah, absolutely. But the you know, the next phase is once we've got these kids playing and is to kind of show them different stuff, you know, show them some World War II, show them some Napoleonic games, you know, kind of see what they like, what they don't like. Then once they've kind of found their niche, found where they're passionate at, you know, take the donations that we get and kind of funnel them to that so they can start getting into the kind of the non-gaming side of it, you know, the building and the painting side of it.
Right. When I see a kid that has played in my game, running a game, mission accomplished, you know,
and that's
what you guys are doing right now. I think it's great.
Yep. That's the ultimate goal, is to, you know, have them kind of, you know, roll out a simple rule set. You know, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be something super complex. It doesn't need to be advanced squad leader or, you know, the rules I ran for my game were 9 pages long. And it's just, you've got a move mechanic, you've got a fire mechanic, you've got a hit mechanic, you've got a morale mechanic, and then you move on. You know, and to get kids thinking about that, and, you know, then that'll get them into the research side of it. And okay, well, how effective was this weapon against that tank, or whatever their, you know, whatever their chosen period is, they'll start kind of figuring stuff out. And that's, you know, that's where I think the hobby gets real fun.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, although, if people just come to play, there's nothing wrong with that either.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I want players at my table. So if you don't want to paint and you don't want to run a game, I still want you.
I mean, believe it or not, Mike, there are some people, I'm not going to name names here, but there are some people who do not enjoy painting. Unimaginable.
Can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
No.
I've heard of such a thing.
I know.
There be dragons.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm almost like that myself. I actually like painting, but you don't see me doing any of it. I haven't picked up a brush in months.
Well, that's because you're at a convention every other weekend, Mike.
If I can be, I will be. That's right.
I think it's great that, you know, a lot of people say, oh, there's a problem because, well, actually, there's a lot of debate now whether or not there's actually any graying of the hobby, but people saying, oh, there's this problem, we should do something about it. And then they stop and they don't do anything.
Yeah.
And then, like, next time someone mentions it, they say, oh, there's this problem, we should do something about it. Somebody somewhere should take care of this.
That's right.
Someone, not me, but someone. And then they leave it.
Jump on
hey,
that.
You just did an ad. We gotta can that one.
You guys are not doing that. You guys said there's a problem, what can we do? And you came up with a plan, you got this action, you're doing it, and it's working. Yep. I really think it's working.
Yeah.
John,
no, I mean, go ahead, Mike.
John Paul helped me in my game on Sunday, and he's perfect for this stuff too. He was great. Matter of fact, we came to an agreement because I make stuff up almost the whole game. so I let him do the same thing. We don't step on each other's make up baloney that we throw out there, and it's working pretty good. So I hope he helps me out next year on Sunday. So he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys lucked out having him join your crowd.
Yeah. No, I'm real happy to have him. I know he's real active with everybody. He's at every game day. He's at meetings. He's really engaged with us. You know, it was he's been great, and he donated a bunch of copies of his rule set, his fantasy chess set.
I got a set of rules of that too.
Yeah, I grabbed a set for my son, and he's excited for it.
Yeah, it looks like fun. Let me know how it goes, because I haven't done anything with it yet.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, we'll get Jonathan playing.
Sure.
I'd be interested to see how it compares to this, but I have a set of, I guess we're going to see, chess is a way to phrase it, of another chess game called Rogue Chess, a game designer I know created. They came on the show. They did a whole Kickstarter for it, where it uses cards to give alternate movement abilities to the pieces, so that instead of like the pawn going one or two forward, the piece lets it do something different. And so you can choose to move it the normal way, as anyone traditionally knows, or you play whatever the card is, and that piece gets to do this other thing. And so the objective is still the same. You know, you gotta take care of your opponent's king and so forth, but the cards add this extra dimension to it, and it's neat. And I mean, you just get deck cards and you use them with any chess set that you happen to have. So I'd be interested to see how this compares to that. And I mean, chess in general, there's a lot of variants, but there's a lot of commonalities too with people who tinker with it.
Yeah,
you know, just something different to do with it. It sounds like fun.
Mm.
I have a question for Josh. When you guys decide what's going to be the big featured game at the con, how do you decide that? What goes on?
So round about February, late January, early February, we will hold a planning meeting for Huzzah. And a bunch of us will usually go take over some event room at a hotel, at a restaurant. Last year we went and did brunch in Portland. But we'll kick around ideas, and we'll try and Shanghai any volunteers we can. We'll talk about, well, gee, what do we want the club game to be? We'll kick around some ideas, and eventually someone will again, it's like you said, it's like, oh, we should do this. Okay, well, are you gonna step? Well, so
I'm just the idea man. I don't do anything.
Yeah, I don't want to be responsible for anything. But
I work with a lot of people like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's daunting. I mean, that game, and this year it was the British Colonial Northwest Frontier.
Yeah, it looked great.
That was a big game to put together, and I can certainly understand a lot of reluctance to take that on. I'm certainly appreciative to Chris Penny and Jim Flanagan for taking that ball and running with it.
Oh, they did a great job. It looked awesome.
Yeah, no, it looked great.
And the Sikh up in the right-hand corner, they were fantastic.
Yes.
They were really nice.
Yep.
That's something I painted, Jonathan.
See, I hear people now talk about the club participation game from this year, but I couldn't find it anywhere. I couldn't find any. So yeah, I wish I had seen, because people like, the models look great, the tables look great. And I'm like, yeah, but where were they? Because now I'm like sad.
Well, it was Sunday while you were doing your live broadcast. So.
Oh, well, there we go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I have some pictures in my picture album.
Okay. Because it'll make me feel like I had been there to see it.
Yeah, well, you missed a really nice table. It was gorgeous.
Yeah. Real creative use on terrain.
Yeah,
I guess you took some bark mulch, the big nugget bark mulch, and he painted it gray and made rock outcroppings in the desert.
Yeah,
and it looked fantastic.
Painted it gray doesn't do it justice. I mean, it really it looked like the Northwest Frontier. It just looked great. The way I would want it to look, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the club game, and then so what'll happen is after we kind of decide on it, we will order a bunch of figures. We'll send out emails to our contacts at the various gaming clubs around, and we'll anyone who's interested, we'll send them out some miniatures to paint, and then they bring the miniatures back and we fill them on the table.
So you guys pay for the minis? They're not like donated by Warlord or whatever manufacturer? You don't get stuff sent to you?
I think some years they may have been donated. Other years we've paid for them, or we've gotten a reduced rate on them. But usually that's Dean Emerson's been our guy who's had the contacts at the factory to get those for us.
He's a great guy.
He is. He's as a new officer transitioning in and being completely new to doing anything at all with nonprofits and you know, having an officer, he's been absolutely fantastic helping me and the other officers kind of figure out what to do and when to do it and who to go to for that, and tutoring us on the use of Google Drive.
Yeah, I like Dean. I always look forward to seeing him. I only see him once a year.
Yeah, I didn't get to see him either. I saw his wife.
Well, I used to get to see him at Carnage, but he hasn't come lately.
Mm. I know he's been super duper busy with work, and you know, his daughter's getting into sports age, and so he's a busy guy. But he's been a big help.
His daughter played in my game. She's quite a player. She's pretty sharp.
She games quite a bit. She comes to the game days, and she's a prototypical cadet.
She kicks some butt around Hang High, I can tell you that.
she's got the min-max going.
Yeah, she's funny. I love having her when she comes.
So if it was up to you, Josh, what would you love to see as the theme for 2018's Huzzah Club Participation Game?
Boy, I don't know if I want to go down that rabbit. I mean,
yeah, better be careful.
Because 2018 is going to be 9 years. Usually we try and link it up with something historical, like an anniversary. So a couple years ago when we did Civil War, it was a Civil War anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened 100 years ago?
We floated out there for this year as the club game, because it's the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Stalingrad. So there's a lot of ideas thrown around. I don't know.
You don't almost have a favorite?
It was almost like you had two games, because the Stalingrad game was pretty big.
Yeah, that really was cool. Yeah.
I mean, that got on the T-shirt and everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Yeah, Tony did a great job.
So he did. First of all, let me give a big thanks to Tony and Dave. They put on a great game. They brought a lot of
those guys. Incredible.
And anytime I needed a graphic for something, Tony was right there. Johnny on the spot got it for me. He was great. And that Stalingrad game was unbelievable.
I got a lot of good pictures, but probably could have got a lot more.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I could spend a month photographing that table. Probably still not see everything.
Right.
It was a fantastic job they did on that. But for 2018, maybe my idea would be, I don't know, maybe something a little more abstract. So there's nothing jumping off my mind as expressly historical. Like there, I can't think of anything big that happens.
You might have to go to a 300 or 400 year anniversary or something.
Yeah.
Might have to go way back.
You know, but we could do, you know, like rebellions or resistances or,
That's pretty cool.
Rebellions are good.
Yeah, that's timeless.
That way we can include more people in the game concept. So it's
Why don't you do something that I need? So when I paint those figures.
Well, you know, a few years ago we did like the Boxer Rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Actually, I loaned figures for that.
I bet you did.
I did.
That was actually my first Huzzah. That was my introduction to wargaming.
Really?
Wow. Altogether.
Good place to start. Yeah, that was a good one.
Well, it's funny because I used to work with Mike Trabeau. We used to work in the same office. He's the president and general gaming guru.
And he's an owner of Heidi's Brooklyn Deli, right?
Him and his wife own those, yes.
I love that place.
Me too. I
ate there all weekend.
I got to say, if anyone's ever in Portland, you have to go here because the food's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's really great quality. The customer service is out of this world. They've been fantastic, whether you go by yourself or with the family. They were amazing with my little one, with my two-year-old. We look forward to going to Huzzah, partly so we can go there to go eat.
Oh, absolutely.
The only downside for me was my $2 off certificate is still on my dashboard.
Yes, I forgot mine too.
It doesn't matter. I enjoyed the food, so that's what really matters.
Yeah. No, that's I used to work with Mike. Used to work with me, and he walked. This is a great story. He'd walk by my desk, and I had a Los Angeles class model and a Soviet Alpha class model sitting on my desk. And so we'd pass each other in the hallway, and he would just kind of nod his head and Nelson. I kind of look at him like, does this guy just not know my name, or is he making a reference to something? So it happened a few more times, and then finally one day I was feeling in a bit of a mood. So he goes, Nelson, and I go, Villeneuve, who of course was the French, his French counterpart. And it was his time to kind of stop and give me a look. And so we got to talking, and he's like, so you build models, huh? Yeah. It's like, well, do you ever play with your toys? What do you mean? And that's when he introduced me to wargaming. And
actually, I think he introduced you to me.
Yes. Yes, he did. Yeah. He introduced me to a lot of people.
Yeah, I bet he did.
We won't hold that against him, though, right?
I didn't fall down the rabbit hole. I dove.
You did. Look at your vice president.
Well, I've been building models since I was a little kid. but you know, did sit on a shelf, did fall apart, and then I'd go build something else. And it got it was getting to a point where I was just I was starting kits and not finishing them, and just kind of lose interest in it halfway through. Then I started working. Well, yeah, that, exactly. Now I'm building to a purpose. Now I need, you know, geez, I need to build four tanks for my American Army in the Ardennes, or you know, I need to paint these ships for Battle of Dogger Bank, or you know, I'd never painted minis before. I usually omitted the pilot figures from my planes because and now I paint minis all the time.
It's funny how people get into the hobby. It's different for everybody, it seems.
Yeah, you know, and we've been really actively promoting the wargaming, and we've found some new people. We've had some pretty decent luck meeting some new people and finding new people. One thing I've been trying to do is, you know, once the new year kicks in, we start looking for events that are kind of wargaming adjacent. For example, this year I went to a Comic-Con up in Bar Harbor, and I had a whole table set up and was talking to people, and I brought my Zombicide game and was running demos all week for the day.
Oh, nice.
Had a lot of kids showing up, and you know, a lot of parents taking business cards and flyers for the convention, and I, you know, donated a couple of free passes to their ticket raffle. And then the other place I got to go and hang out, which was pure nirvana for me, was the local chapter of the International Plastic Model Society, the IPMS.
Oh, nice. Did you take pictures?
Oh, I took lots of pictures.
Oh, I got to check your album.
Yeah, I'll post it up on Facebook here in a little bit.
Yeah, do that.
But I got, I mean, there's just beautiful models there.
Yeah, they do. The people that are into that are really amazing.
Yeah, so I started kind of showing pictures of some of the tables, and
oh, cool.
You know, it's, you know, they're bringing a diorama, and to them a big diorama is 3 feet by 3 feet. And I'm showing them your table, Mike, or the Stalingrad table from last year, and it's like, yeah, not only are these, you know, fully interactive dioramas, but you know, we break them down and we move them. We
shoot each other.
Yeah, we throw dice at each other. We get to interact with our stuff. It's not just a set piece that you look at and don't touch.
Right.
And there was some interest there. So I've been keeping in touch with those guys and
cool.
You know, tempting them, and they got a couple of passes to Huzzah. And so yeah, we're always looking for groups that are kind of hobby adjacent.
Yeah, I love that part of the hobby, and I've always wanted to do dioramas and all that, but mm-hmm. I love what we do so much. I don't think I'm ever going to get around to doing any of that.
Yeah.
You know,
only so much time, too. I mean,
well, yeah, and I'd just rather spend my time on the wargaming aspect of the hobby. Mm-hmm. As much as I would like to do that stuff, it just is not really on my radar like the hobby, like the gaming part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everybody's different, but, you know, bring them all in. You know, that's my mission now. You know, mm-hmm. just get people involved in the hobby.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, spread the fun around. I never even realized that really the best part of this hobby, I'm biting that it's all these friendships that we make.
It's a great community. It really is.
I have hundreds of friends that I would not have if it wasn't for this hobby.
Oh, yeah.
No way.
Easily.
No way.
You know, as excited as I get for Huzzah, and even like this last year, I didn't play a single game at this last Huzzah. But I had
I didn't either.
Because I got
I
to hang out with everyone.
Yeah, I don't even care if I play a game anymore. I mean, I like playing them. I played at Gabriel's recently and had a good time. But it's just, you know, just being there and seeing what everybody's doing. You know, look at the stuff Tony did. You know, that was set up right next to me. I got to gawk at it all weekend. It was great.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, seeing the tables and seeing the stuff people have built and, you know, coming from the model community, I mean, just that just blows my mind. It just every time it's like, I can't wait to go out and see what people have been doing and what they've built. And man, is it an ego shot when you put a table out there. I put my first table out this year. I built terrain and painted troops and built stuff. And
did I get any pictures of that? I hope so.
I think you did. I think I saw you.
Yeah, I think I did too.
There.
I think so.
I borrowed heavily from a lot of stuff I've seen at previous Huzzahs.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, that's the brilliance of the hobby. You get to learn. You learn a lot.
Right. Well, that's what I like about the internet too, because you know you're seeing stuff that's going on over in Spain or wherever, and we wouldn't see any of that stuff.
I mean, you know, growing up, you know, being a kid living in rural Western Maine, I didn't have hobby shops. There was no one else around that really built models. My dad built a few, but you know, it was a failed hobby attempt. So really, my only source for any of this information was my subscription to Fine Scale Modeler. You know, and that was my only real formal education on how to paint things or how to build things or. And they weren't nearly as creative as you are, Mike.
Oh, jeez, cut that crap. That's a great magazine. It's always got something good in it. You know, even if it's not the stuff, like say it's an article on something that you don't even do, you still learn something from that article.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, it doesn't really have to be what you're into. You pick some, because all these guys just come up with great ideas. Just like when we're at the corner, we're looking at what everybody does. That we're, you know, hey, I'm going to do that. You know, I like that idea.
Hey, is that corduroy for roof tile?
Yeah, exactly, right. You know, it doesn't matter where the idea came from. It's like you can use it, go for it.
No, I mean, the creativity is mind-blowing. And that's the part, you know, that's the part of a convention I enjoy the most, is just seeing all the creative solutions to unusual problems.
Yeah, I think one of the things that most of us enjoy is just the creative expression that we get to just express, just to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So much fun. I'm running out of things to express it on my table. I got to come up with some way to squeeze things in. I might have to take the wrecking ball to a few things.
Hang High is getting congested.
Yeah, it is. I like it that way. I had 15 people at the table at TotalCon. I was like, God.
Yeah.
But it was fun, though.
It's a lot of people, Mike.
Yeah. Then Craig Tower comes over and says, hey, can I run the Dragon? I'm like, yeah, you can run the Dragon. That way I didn't have to do it. So that was great.
Nice.
You know? Yeah, I was glad he showed up. Yeah, and at Hazara, I had a whole bunch of great events. Just so much fun.
I think it can be hard for people to take the plunge the first time to run a game at a convention or a game day or anything like that. So to hear, Josh, that this was like your first time putting out the table and doing that into thing and seeing how it was, what made you say, do you know what, this is the year I'm going to do it, as opposed to I'll do it another year or whatever?
Well, I mean, I've been wanting to do it for a while. And, you know, the impetus came from, you know, it was time. I was looking around and I had some stuff that I'd built and everything kind of was, you know, I had some troops kind of already painted. And, you know, it was, I really liked the idea of doing the make and take and then playing. You know, once I kind of had that idea, that was kind of the genesis of it. And I was like, okay, well, now I got to build a table. And that led to me finding all sorts of creative solutions.
Actually, I was kind of surprised that you said that this was the first time you'd done it, because for some reason I thought you'd already run a couple of games.
Well, I've run board games. I thought that. So I have a...
You've helped me run my game a few times too.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I have a very popular zombie board game that I've run there. I ran year before last.
Okay. I must be thinking of that.
Yeah, lots of painted undead. I think I've right now my collection somewhere around 300 painted figures for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I bought
more stakes to hang high. What are you waiting for?
I know they would. Once I get the rest of the ones I have painted,
invade me.
I think that we should do that.
We gotta do it.
We need to park a necromancer up in the tower.
Without a doubt, we'll dedicate a whole session to it.
Let's do it.
At least we're doing it.
It sounds like a plan. You've heard it here first.
That's right. Wargaming Recon exclusive.
The way things are going, I might not have to run any games. This is the second. Well, not entirely happy, but you know, I'll play.
You never. If someone's willing to give you a whole table full of terrain, come in, set it up, tear it down for you. You don't say no to that offer.
Mm-mm. Oh yeah. Well, you're always welcome at my table.
Well, thank you.
You know, whether you want to play or run something or bring your own stuff. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, all you guys are. Jonathan, too. He might even paint something someday. Who knows?
Well, if that criteria happens from our other episode, who knows? Maybe at all.
Yeah, we might have a barbarian running around the table. It could happen.
We very well might.
That could be fun.
courtesy of Model Box.
Yeah.
That's the name, right? Yeah, that's the name.
Look at that. Model Box got a plug in on two shows. Good for them.
Yeah, there you go. Not bad for a free review copy.
Model Box, there you go.
Cormac of the Red Hand, right? I think that's the guy's name.
Something like that. Yeah, I know I wouldn't.
I think that does it. You ever hear of these subscription things, Josh? It's like a Tea of the Month Club or Fruit of the Month Club.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten a couple of them.
So it's like Luke or whatever.
Well, here's somebody who's got a couple. What's your opinion of the whole thing?
What'd you get?
So he is Cormac of the Red Hand. It's by Mierce Miniatures. We got an unnamed, no, that's not right. She has a name. A female barbarian, Sana, by Hassle-Free Miniatures.
Cool.
And paint and a couple dice.
Nice. And that's Model Box?
That's Model Box.
Nice. I actually looked them up. I was listening to your last podcast, and I looked them up. I was like, ooh.
There was some disagreement between Mike and I as to how much value was there. Not for, like, what the stuff is worth, but, like, this whole, like, you don't know what you're going to get kind of thing.
You know, I kind of like that. I've gotten a couple of the more popular boxes as gifts, and I'll tell you what, it's fun coming home and seeing that sitting on your doorstep. That's a good day when you walk in from work and there's something real nice there for you.
And I think that's what they're banking on, that people are just going to be excited by. I don't know what it is, but there's something going to be here.
Yeah, I think I just have too much stuff, and I'm going to open that up and say, I don't need this.
I think maybe you and I are just a bunch of curmudgeons.
Yeah, we are grouchy old grognards, I guess.
I often get told that people think I'm older than what I am because I just sound like an old man. Like, get off my lawn.
You are older than me, aren't you?
Hey, someone is.
So, Josh, you like that, huh? Because I that's the first person that I've talked to that actually experienced it. So, okay, you know, I guess someone's buying into it.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool idea. I've gotten a couple of them. The problem I've had with them in the past, though, is because I'm not a fan of everything in the box. I end up with a lot of stuff.
That's what I was thinking about.
And I end up, right. You know, a lot of it I give away to friends and youngsters, and few things I do keep, though.
Yeah, well, that's not terrible if somebody ends up with something that they could use, but
yeah,
I don't know. I guess if I want to blow money on something, I want it to be something I want. I don't want to. Yeah, I wonder what this is going to be. And
me too.
Then it's not what I want anyway.
Yeah,
like, you know? for me, if I had excess money, I would rather spend it with one of the vendors from Huzzah, for example.
So
Wargamers Terrain. I love their stuff so much.
They have nice stuff. I have a few of those things.
You know, more Cigar Box battle mats, because these are like the softest thing you've ever.
Those are great looking.
They're doing a Kickstarter coming up in middle of summer this year, end of summer 2017. Double sided plush mats. Those are the soft ones. I'm looking forward to it because
double sided.
That's already on. That's fantastic.
You pick whatever design you want from their collection that can be done in plush, mm-hmm. and so you pick two designs. They don't have to be the same. And just they print on both sides, and you go, oh man, I'm excited talking about it. Just
well, look, not even at, here yet. Look at you. I guess we know what you want for Christmas.
Okay, so this is embarrassing, but I'm going to say it anyway because I feel like not an episode goes by that I don't get embarrassed, but that's okay. So when this one came, like, I seriously, like, I walked around with it for like days, wrapped up in it like a Jedi, and I was like, this is the softest thing ever. It was like a cape for me to be like superhero. I was like Cigar Box Battle Man. And I tried to convince my wife that we should replace our blankets on our bed with this. I was like, this is soft enough to be a blanket. We'll just put this on there, and then, you know, like, when we're not using the bed to sleep, we can just play like a game on it, right? I can just like put out all my models. And she wasn't.
You better cut it out. She's not even going to walk down the street with you.
And I tell you, it's wonderful. It's just it's a great thing. And but like you get this at Huzzah too, because Gordon sells these, and just a lot of great vendors there actually.
Yeah, those are nice. Actually, I played on one recently at Gordon's store, and they look pretty cool. Oh no! Oh no! What the heck was that?
I had to change devices.
You had to change devices. Oh my god!
There we go. Let me take care of that. A little quick acting.
Holy crap! That almost knocked me out of my chair.
I know, that was really crazy. We fix it on the fly because, as listeners should be aware, we record this live, and it's one of those things that ends up appearing in our recordings. So you get what you don't always expect, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my wife to come in the door and tell me she needs help getting stuff out of the car.
So what else do we want to say about Huzzah?
There's not enough to say about Huzzah.
Well,
it's
that's
just,
true.
It's just the best. Those guys put on such a great
anything
con.
Anything else, Josh? Anything about Huzzah or MHWA that like we really should cover that I fell down on the job about?
We fell down on the job big time. There's a million things we can talk about.
I mean, there really is. I mean, we do a lot. We've got a game day coming up at the Brunswick Naval Air Station on the 22nd of July. That's a member and guest game day.
That's a neat place to have it.
Yeah, we really like that run, particularly in the summer because it's air conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
But we do hold 5 game days a year. The dates do vary a little bit depending on what we can get from the venues we use. So we'll usually have one in late July, early August. We'll have another one in October. We'll have one in January, sometime right around the holidays. And then we have one in February and then one in April. And April is kind of our good opportunity for us to kind of polish up our games for Huzzah. But those are a lot of fun. And those are always, of course, free to the public. The member and guest game days, you have to either be a member or be invited by a member.
Hey, I'm a member.
Nah.
That's right, you are. You can brag about that now.
Of these days, I should get to one of those member and guest game days.
They're a lot of fun, and it's nice because they're.
You gonna bring me as a guest or what?
I don't know.
I think maybe you should. You know, I'm your podcast buddy after all.
Or if you became a member, then we could each bring another guest.
Yeah, I know, but that would mean that I have to open up this wallet, and I can't do it.
Well, it's $35 a year.
It's the nonprofit, right? It's tax deductible according to law and so forth, and.
That gets you
$35.
It gets you your member and guest game day admissions. It gets you invited to the holiday party, which is phenomenal.
That I won't go to.
That's usually hosted by Mr. Chris Penny, and
I've seen some pictures. That looks like quite a great time, but
it's really nice that they do that.
You guys do all kinds of cool stuff. It's such an awesome club.
We have a lot of fun with it, and it's.
I have my own club to worry about too, you know.
Well, okay, well.
Yeah, you know, got a lot of responsibility sitting here in this chair, posting spam on Facebook.
I was just gonna say, I'm not gonna touch that.
Heavy lock of the head that wears the crown.
I guess so. That's quite a busy calendar, though. So, all the game days and the events and the holiday party and. Then there's Huzzah and all the prep for that and the cleanup after it. And like, there's a year. It's not enough time.
It's a busy year. I'm learning that the hard way. I'm like, it won't take any time at all. But it's really been a big eye-opening experience for me as a new officer. And, I think it's an important space in the community. Because a lot of the gaming communities I found, and I've played a few different games, they be a little insular, you know. They can be a little overly competitive and not necessarily always so welcoming.
In some
of the competitive collective games, you know, I don't want to buzz market anyone here.
Well, we won't mention any names, but it happens.
But I found that, and
I am shocked to hear such a thing.
Yeah,
who would have thought? But
Steamroller over a 5-year-old to win a game.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta get that chase piece or that you know, that price.
Well, you need to get that win in your column because otherwise, you have no reason for playing games anymore. Who could you be if you can't beat that poor 5-year-old?
That's right.
They knew when they came that this was a possibility, and you're teaching them a life lesson.
That's right. We're having games. We can't.
And you should be grateful.
Yes, they should thank you for teaching them that lesson.
Right. That's right.
Because that's going to make them a better person when they grow up.
Right. The earlier you learn, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Disappointment to us all.
But, I'll say this. It's a remarkable group of guys. Because I've never once heard anyone get chippy over a rules. I've never heard someone
get chippy over the, you know, get salty over the outcome of a game. You know, everyone's just there to have fun, to relax.
Well, if you have any members in the club like that, I haven't met them yet because I don't think I know everybody, but I've met a lot of people from your club, and I've enjoyed all of them. They're just great people.
Yeah, it's
that's what keeps you coming, you know. It's not just the games.
It's all about the people.
Yeah, it is.
It's a truly remarkable group of people we have, and you know, we're grateful for everyone.
Yeah, I swear some of you guys could take a shit game and turn it into something fantastic.
Yeah.
Just because they're running it, you know. As a matter of fact, Gabriel did that with my game.
Well, come on now.
Yeah. He did. He came down and just took over down there at Fort Devens, and that was great. I went and got a coffee and a slice of pizza, and everybody was having fun. It was cool.
He gave you a break, a much deserved.
Yeah, he did. He did. I wasn't complaining.
And Mike,
that's for sure.
I always say it. I don't know how you handle that much energy at your table all the time.
I get to go home. They're not my kids.
Yeah.
So it's just fun. Some of the stuff I can't even remember some of the stuff. One of the best things this year was Al Mancini's kid says to me, you should have an artifact called the completely unfair artifact. And I'm like, you know, 2 minutes later, I had it at the deck because that's great.
And then
Kyle's kid cuts the deck and he got it twice in the same game. So I had to be totally unfair.
Totally unfair artifact.
I had to do it. Right. Yeah, I had to do it. Although I thought later I could have let him be totally unfair, but I just wasn't. It wasn't to be, not in that game. He's a great kid, too. They both are. He's got two big kids.
So why don't we move on to one of my favorite parts of the show, the mailbag.
Why is this your favorite part of the show? I have my doubts whether there's even a grain of truth.
I will tell you why it's my favorite part of the show. Because podcasting is a very interesting thing in that you can be very isolated in it. And I think the most important aspect of podcasting are the people who listen to the show, whatever your show is, whoever they happen to be. So I love hearing back from the listeners, what they think about the show, what the thoughts are, because the listeners in a podcaster, you form a really good relationship. So we have from Facebook, which is one of the many ways you can leave feedback and comments for the show. Listener Rich said of episode 184, Huzzah 2017, quote, "Thank you for the review. Yes, was a lot of troops to move, but that period, no real small battles. I also run American War of Independence in American Civil War games, 4 to 6 players moves along much faster," unquote. So
that's my war game, buddy.
First of all, I want to thank Rich for leaving the comment and for listening to the show. And I got to say, love the game. It's Carnage and Glory. It was a lot of fun. And I would like to see how the rules work with these other time periods to see how that plays out with the timing of things.
I got really surprised. We played the English Civil War, and boy, I played a lot different.
Yeah,
Have you played it, Josh?
I did. I actually got to watch a little bit of that game when John was playing it. That was the one that was driven by the computer, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that looked like a real interesting game, and man, he made that table look great. I mean, the LEDs in the cotton swabs to.
Yeah, I got to play the play test of that. I was Frederick the Great, and I got my head handed to me. Bill Greenwald took me apart.
I highly recommend it to anyone. So if you haven't had a chance to play Carnage and Glory, it's definitely worth a try.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Rich runs it for us all the time.
He does a great job.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. He's a great GM too.
And we have
even though I mean, you know, he's family, but I would say that anyway. He wasn't.
We have a review on iTunes, actually, of the show that I'd like to share with everyone. It's a 5-star review titled Top Notch. It's from Landon Celano of the Grunt Work podcast. It's a TV podcast about the 1990 sitcom Home Improvement with Tim Allen. And he says, quote, "Really impressed with the quality of the content and how enjoyable it was, even being semi-unfamiliar with the topic. Unique perspective. Can't wait to consume all there is to listen to," unquote. So I want to thank Landon for leaving us that review and say that you too can leave a review for the show by going to wargamingrecon.com/iTunes. And who knows, we might read your review on a future episode of the show.
If I review this show, you're going to read my review?
Maybe. There's no promises, but maybe. It might happen.
Maybe.
Might read the review. Maybe. We'll see.
All right. Well, we'll see if I do a review too, won't we?
We'll see. You're not going to, but I'll play along.
What do you mean? Yeah. I just might. I might go back to one of those really, maybe the first episode. I might review that. Maybe I'll review that one.
You can't even get the first episode anymore.
Well, I think I know somebody.
You do? Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, those early episodes are gone.
Oh, yeah.
they are gone. People get the two or three most recent years worth of content, and the older ones are no longer.
I hope that's not true.
No, that's completely true.
You're breaking my heart. Where's all the fun?
I mean, I have the old episodes somewhere, and if someone
subscribed
and downloaded them and so forth, they would have.
That's exactly what I want to see that in my email.
So we have the up-to-date stuff. And then just have some announcements actually to share with people. So I want to thank all of our Patreon backers, Patrick, Chris Parker from DaveBattleGames.com, and Kyle from Vermont for their very kind support. And say that you too can become a backer on Patreon, because Patreon is a great way to keep the show up and going. As odd as it might seem, podcasting's not cheap. And so in order to keep this high quality that we have going and do all the things we do, we need some support. And we are about halfway to our next goal, where we can pay a fair wage to our audio editor, Joshua, down in Australia. And we're making our way there. And if you back the show, you can do so for as little as $1 per month. And that'll get you episodes before non-backers. And you also get behind the scenes content, which is pretty cool. And then, of course, we have our sponsor. You heard a message at the beginning of the episode. You heard one at the end. But the Maine Historical Wargamers Association is just another part of the puzzle that makes it possible for us to be here. We are very grateful for all of their support and to have this great sponsorship arrangement worked out in this relationship. It really does make all the difference. So thank you, Josh, for all that you guys do and helping us out here to keep the show going.
Happy to do it.
Should remind everyone that we have show notes, wargamingrecon.com/WR187. That's wargamingrecon.com/WR187. Cover all the things that we talked about. And you can also get the episode guide by going there. And that'll tell you about the upcoming shows that we have coming out. Like episode 188 will come out on July 24th. And then we have other stuff later on in the podcast year, reviews and other guests coming on and talking about conventions and game days and all that sort of stuff.
We
got quite a few other events to talk about, Mike Payne, on future episodes, because you're going to be a busy guy.
I like being busy. You know, I wanted to mention something when you mentioned Chris Parker. He ran a pretty cool tournament up there at Hazard, right next to me. So I got
Lion Rampant, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody looked like they were having fun. It looked like a cool game.
Yeah, I think they had a really good time.
I might even build a medieval army. Yeah, sure.
Hey. Day of Battle is a good set of roles, and I know they were doing Lion Rampant, but if people are interested in Medieval, they should check out his Day of Battle roles. And
I actually have a set he gave me in a game I played.
Someone did. You don't even have to paint any models for it, because you can just print out armies from it and use print and play miniatures, as I call them, paper terrain, paper models.
I've actually been thinking about doing that for a few different games. I got a lot, but I'm gonna mount them on wood.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, run an American Civil War game that was print and play from.
Yeah, who ran that?
That was Tim Kindred ran that.
I thought so. I saw it set up, and I meant to come back and get some pictures, and I never did.
And I want to. I'm trying to remember where he got them from, but I can't. It's not coming to me.
Yeah, they look pretty cool though.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get started, if you want to, you're a little daunted by painting miniatures, being able to run some off on your printer on some cardstock and kind of get a feel for it.
Great way to get into a hobby. Yeah.
It's a good thing to do.
Matter of fact, Jonathan, didn't you just review something that was similar to that?
We did an unboxing. It'll be on our upcoming Roku channel and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
For Spanish Armada. And then
I want to get my hands on those.
We did, I think it was episode 84 many moons ago, Wargaming on the Cheap. We talked about using print and play models as a way to try out new rules and all that kind of stuff.
Nothing wrong with doing that. You get to play and you get to do it cheap.
And then you got guys like me who will take a board game and make it not a board game anymore.
Yeah, I've done that a bunch of times, and I have friends that have done it too. My friend Leo, Rich Wallace's first miniature game. Leo made the Avalon Hill D-Day game into a miniature.
No, nice. That's cool.
Rich is just like hanging around, and Leo dragged him into the game, and now look what he's doing. You know, he's winning ribbons at Hazard,
It's nice to see.
Yeah.
I have a rudimentary chits and cards Napoleonics game, and I'm looking, giving a sidelong glance at my copy of Risk, saying, I want to play this other game more than I'm going to play Risk. I think it's time to repurpose those miniatures into this other game.
There you go.
Hey, you should do it.
Yeah, I'm tired of Risk. Let's play something else.
So since we're winding down, before we end this episode, Joshua, if people want to stay up to date with the MHWA and all the things that you guys are doing, how can they do that? How can they follow you and see what's going on online?
So the best way to do it is through Facebook. We are Main Wargamers HQ at Facebook.com. And we also have a website with the same URL, MainWargamersHQ.com. And then HuzzahCon.com is more geared towards the convention. We update the Facebook far more often than we update the website, and that's on me. But that's and then, you know, come to the game days. We talk about a lot of stuff. The Facebook page is really where most of the new announcements come out first.
Usually when I post something for Hazara, I put a link to the page, so you get both.
Yeah.
That is good to know. So I want to thank you for being a guest on this episode of Wargaming Recon, and it was a pleasure to have you, really.
Well, John, it's been great, great being on with you, and Mike, good to talk to you as well.
Yeah, it was great talking to you, Josh.
And thank you, Mike, for being a co-host for yet another episode of the show. And
my pleasure.
I want to remind everyone that no matter how busy you are, no matter what's going on in your life, you know that you have to, you need to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit wargamingrecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 18th through the 20th, 2018, at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.